Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, November the 1st. Welcome to the first day of November. You know, just to put that in some perspective, first day of November 2019 means that we are almost a year away from the next presidential election. So that kind of, I mean, where did the time go? Can somebody answer that? Where did 3 years go? 3 years since we were remembering the night that President Trump was elected in 2016. I mean, it's just incredible. We're down here to the last year, and over the next 12 months, who knows what's going to happen with the next election. I still think President Trump is going to be reelected, but the crazy stuff I think we're going to see is going to be rather incredible. Just a quick note, we did a show on Halloween Day with Leslie Eastman. That would be in the archives. That's the show before this one. I would really encourage you to check it out. We got some really good perspectives from Leslie, who writes for Legal Insurrection, and we really got into some interesting information about why these fires are happening in California. She lives out there with her family and gave us a little input on that. Check out the show. It's, as I say, it's in the archives right before this show, Wednesday, November the 1st. Well, today we're going to talk about this garbage that happened of all times on Halloween Day when the House of Representatives, on a straight party vote, I guess two exceptions. There were two Democrats who didn't vote for this. So the only bipartisan note from that vote actually came from the Republican side, because two Democrats walked away and didn't vote for this so-called impeachment. First of all, it's not an impeachment vote, and I wish we would stop calling it that. It's not an impeachment vote. This is not going to undertake any impeachment. This is simply, I see it sort of as a way of, it's like a gimmick for the left wing of the party. The left wing of the party has been trying to impeach Trump ever since the man was elected. I'm sure you remember that congresswoman from Michigan who, on the day she was inaugurated in January of 2017, was making public statements about we're going to impeach the you-know-what. So they've been on this. He's had a target for such a long time. And at the same time, they wouldn't do an impeachment vote. So I think that this little gimmick, and that's what it is, to create this impeachment vote, and I guess the way they're explaining is that, you know, well, we're just doing this because, you know, we're going to inquire more. We're going to look more and more into the, you know, whether or not he should be impeached or whatever. I think the whole thing is a joke. The whole thing is a travesty. And frankly, I hope the Democrats pay a very heavy price for this. This is no way to impeach a president. This is simply, I mean, they have nothing. They have absolutely nothing. And then they've gone off on this presidential phone call with Ukraine. There's absolutely nothing there to impeach. Even if you think the call was inappropriate, it doesn't mean it's an impeachable offense. So I think the Democrats need to pay a very heavy price for this very irresponsible vote. And I've lost, you know, whatever respect I had for Nancy Pelosi after this. She doesn't seem to have the toughness to stand up to the left wing of the party. She should have told the left wing of the party, look, we're not going to do impeachment, because the reason I'm the speaker is because a bunch of Democrats running in Republican districts were elected promising that we were going to do something about health care, we were going to do something about prescription drugs, that we were going to work together with the administration. That's how they ran. And she seems to be favoring the crazy left wing. They make a lot of noise, of course, the crazy left wing, but she's not speaker because of them. She's speaker because a bunch of moderate Democrats who ran in an entirely different platform. So I'm kind of surprised that she doesn't have the toughness to stand up to the left wing and say, look, I'm not going to allow you to take over this party, and I'm not going to allow you to turn impeachment into a charade, which is what has happened. So bad day, but I think a very bad day for the country also, because you take a look at impeachment and you take a look at the polling data, and I have a post coming out on Saturday about this, where you look at the polling data, and it's a 50-50 deal. So it's right down party lines. Most Democrats want to see him impeached. For what reason? I don't know. Most Republicans do not want him impeached, I guess because they don't think it's an impeachable offense. But, you know, it's just a very bad way to do impeachment. And I think the Democrats are really hurting the whole idea of impeachment a great deal. There's a reason that the Founding Fathers put impeachment, or at least the process of impeachment, in the Constitution. That's, of course, to prevent a president from breaking the law. And that's why, you know, you have the whole question of conviction later. And the House impeaches and the Senate later will convict one way or the other. But we've never removed a president from office, despite the fact that two of them were impeached, Johnson in the 1860s and Clinton in the 1990s. They were both impeached, but neither one was removed. And I think it's because the senators looked at the evidence and say, look, we don't like what we're seeing, but we have to respect the wishes of the American people. And they elected this guy. And unless you have something really, really big and profound, we're not going to overturn an election. And then, of course, in this particular case, it's even more hilarious, considering what I said at the start of the program, that we have an election in a year. I mean, let the American people decide all of this. Let the American people decide whether President Trump has a bad temper or whatever his personality traits may be. Let the American people decide that. Just because you don't like somebody, it doesn't mean you impeach him. So I really believe, that's why I'm hoping, that the Democrats will pay a very heavy price for this very, very irrational and reckless behavior. First of all, they don't even vote to impeach. And that's the other thing that really bugs me here. They don't have the courage to impeach. They don't have the courage to say, we're going to do an up and down vote on impeachment. Now, maybe the reason they don't do an up and down vote on impeachment is because they don't have the votes. You know, I have a post coming out tomorrow about this, where I'm talking about many swing states where impeachment is not popular. And swing states are states like Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, you know, the states that put President Trump over the top. Well, there's a lot of Democrat members of the House in those states. And I'm sure they're hearing from their constituents that, hey, I'd rather have you focused on something else than impeaching the president. We've got an election coming up. Let the election decide who is president of the United States. And as far as impeachment, yes, I understand what we need to do it, or we need to have a clause in the Constitution, but not for this garbage. Not because, you know, you want to do something gimmicky for the left wing of the party that keeps, basically bothering you every single day, saying, when are you going to impeach? When are you going to impeach? Well, that's no way to run an impeachment proceeding. And I think the Democrats, I really sincerely believe, the Democrats are going to make a big mistake, or are making a big mistake, in spending so much time focusing on impeachment and not any time at all, frankly, on issues like health care and prescription drugs. And look, you also have this free trade agreement that was signed with Mexico and Canada. Nothing's been done on that. You know, it's a great agreement by all accounts. They haven't even put it up to a vote in the House of Representatives because they're all obsessed with impeachment. Just a very bad deal, and I hope the Democrats pay a very heavy price in the next election about this. We're going to take a little break. I want you to hear the music of my friend Carlos Guedes. The music of my good friend Carlos Guedes. We have a link to his website on the show information. Click on that. It'll take you to his website, and you'll be able to learn a lot more about him and his music, as well as find out where he's playing around town. He plays quite a bit here in the Dallas area. Well, another big story this Friday morning, another very big story, is the new jobs report. A really good jobs report came out today. As you probably know, the first Friday of every month, there's a jobs report. Well, today's jobs report was really good. I think 100,000 jobs were created. But here's the good part. This is the great part. The black unemployment rate down to its lowest level ever. All-time low, black unemployment rate. Hispanic also all-time low. So something's working out there in the country, and that's why I continue to say that there's a disconnect between Washington and the country, because today everybody in the country is celebrating the good economy, and the Democrats in Washington are obsessed with Trump, obsessed with impeachment. Well, as I said before, this is not going to work out well for the Democrats. I'm very confident of that particular point. Another story today is that Senator Warren finally came out with her Medicare for All plan and how we're going to pay for it. She says we're not going to have a single tax increase on the middle class. Well, I don't know how in the world she can say that. I mean, that is so idiotic. How are you going to do Medicare for All in the United States? And which basically means that everybody's covered, I guess, under the Medicare program that we're now using for elderly people. How in the world are you going to cover everybody and not have a middle class tax increase? I mean, what is your definition of middle class? So I just think this is a very bad proposal. And my guess is that as soon as she gets into a campaign where she's actually debating somebody who's going to debate her on this, it's all going to fall apart. Now, she may run into problems in the Democrat primary. There may be some Democrats taking shot at this plan and saying that there's no way you can do it without raising taxes on the middle class. But I guess for most liberals, I would think that some kind of universal coverage is a good idea. And I'm not necessarily against universal coverage. I think we've got to make sure that everybody has access and has a policy. I don't think Medicare for All, though, is the best way. I'd rather see tax credits given to people so they can buy insurance in the marketplace. I think that, for me, is a better solution so that everybody, I don't care what your income is or your employment status, everybody has an opportunity to purchase a policy, and we do so through tax credits. So you can, here's a tax credit, go out there and get yourself a private policy. I think that's a much better deal than Medicare for All. But I think this may be the end of her campaign, this idiotic Medicare for All proposal. I mean, I don't see how she can explain it. It makes absolutely no sense. On this day in history, a couple of interesting things. 1512, the Sistine Chapel was open to the public. This is, of course, you know, if you're familiar with that movie with the Michelangelo movie with Charlton Heston. I think it's called The Agony and the Ecstasy. It's actually a very good movie. I haven't watched it in a while, but whenever they show it, I tend to watch it because I enjoy the movie a great deal. Well, that was about the Sistine Chapel, and it was open to the public on this day, November 1st, 1512. Wow, that's a long time. On this day, November 1st, 1800, President John Adams and Mrs. Adams moved into the new president's home, what was called then the new president's home. It became the White House later. So they moved into the new residence on this day in 1980. A few days later, Mr. Adams was defeated for president by Mr. Jefferson, Thomas Jefferson. So the Adams were not in that home for a very long time, maybe, I don't know, 2 or 3 months, and then they packed up and went back to Massachusetts. Mr. Adams never came back to Washington. And, of course, he was replaced by Mr. Jefferson. The two of them didn't like each other a heck of a lot, but in the last 10 years of their life, they sort of, they patched it up, as they like to say, and then wrote each other some of the greatest letters in American history, John Adams and Thomas Jefferson writing letters to each other and sort of talking about history and reminiscing about all the great things they had done together when they were putting together the Declaration and everything else. But on this day in 1800, President and Mrs. Adams walked into what we now call the White House. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful weekend. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.